You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
That stanza two of the hymn, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. It has a reference in there. His Gideon shall for you arise. It's a rather obscure reference. It must have a story behind it. And in fact, it does. It has one of the longer stories told in the book of Judges behind it. Gideon, who proves to be a mixed bag when it comes to prophets and judges. But it's a fascinating story of God's victory in battle. And there's no mistaking it. Just like the fall of Jericho, this battle is won solely by God in His power acting for His people. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of the radio show Law and Gospel. The judge and the prophet Gideon will be in Judges chapters 6 and 7. A little bit later, Dr. Ken Cherb joins us. Our ongoing series on Martin Luther and the Reformation continues. Still in the subject of Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount with Dr. Ken Sherb. You can join us over the next hour with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Pastor Tom Baker joins us every week for a Sunday school lesson today to talk about the prophet and the judge Gideon. Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
The story here is rather complicated, and it's a story of battle, but it doesn't even end up really being much of a battle in human terms. In fact, the force with which this commander, Gideon, begins with gets whittled down to practically nothing. What's the context for this? We're in that cycle that you mentioned last time we talked of all those R's?
Yes. The book of Judges goes through a number of R's, and what are they? They are rebellion on the part of the people, then retribution by God. The people repent, and God sends them a rescue. Last week it was Deborah, and then there's a period of rest, which was 40 years. Well, guess what? After these 40 years, the people, again, are in rebellion against God, and this time, God sends against them the Midianites. The Midianites are those who come in, and they take the crops of the people of Israel, etc., until the people repent of their sin, and therefore God sends them, or prepares for them, another man named Gideon. But God does things in ways that are just really odd. Remember, David was very young when he killed Goliath. So also here with Gideon, and of course this is before David, Gideon comes from a tribe that is not well known. It's known, but it's one of the smaller tribes. Gideon is the youngest in the family, And the first time we meet him, which is in chapter 6, verse 11, he was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And so we almost get a kind of cowardice on the part of Gideon. He's hiding from the Midianites. This is not the kind of individual one would think that would be called to be not only judge of the people, but also to lead them in battle.
He isn't that kind of obvious choice here. He seems somewhat meek. He kind of proves that over time, too. But he gets this visitation there in verse 12 of chapter 6 from the angel of the Lord. Pick up the story there, Tom.
Yes. The angel appears to him, and this is very important that this is called the angel of the Lord. So we assume this is none other than Jesus Christ himself in his pre-incarnate state. And in fact, what does the angel say? The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now, the word Lord in the English is capitalized, which means in the original, it's the word that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai when Jesus from the burning bush referred to himself as Yahweh, namely, this is the name of the Lord. And Gideon says, when he hears, O mighty man of valor, where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midian. And the Lord says to, now this is what Gideon had just said, and he says to him, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? Now, once more, Gideon is like Moses. How can I go? I don't know how to talk. I can't take care of Pharaoh. Gideon says, Lord, how can I save Israel? He makes note that his clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Now, this is right after God said, do not I send you. Now, one would expect that if you hear those words, you should have no fear. But the Lord has to repeat them again in verse 16. But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Gideon still isn't convinced, so he asks from the Lord a sign. And therefore, he asks for this sign in order that God will be sure to be telling the truth. What he does, though, first of all, is he slaughters a young goat, makes unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord says, take the meat and the unleavened cakes, put them on this rock, and pour the broth over them. And he did so. And the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. So now Gideon has had a sign. And he says, I have now seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And therefore he builds an altar to the Lord, calling it, the Lord is peace. And in fact, when this was written, the altar was still standing. Now the Lord tells him to take his father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah, that's part of the altar that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord. So his father, therefore, was worshiping Baal. And yet Gideon does what the Lord says, and he actually goes against his father. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants, we're down here at verse 27, and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. So when the folks woke up and saw the altar of Baal had been broken down, as well as the Asherah beside it was cut down, guess what? Who's done this wrong? And they found out that Gideon had done it. So the men of the town said to Joash, that's Gideon's father, bring out your son, that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it. Well, Joash stands up for Gideon and said, if Baal had been so strong, he could have defended himself. So if he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down. And on that day then, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, because he broke down the altar of Baal. And that gets ready now for the big fight against the Midianites and the Amalekites.
So this is they're going to fight, and ultimately this isn't just a fight between two different peoples. It's in many ways symbolic of the contest between the true God, Gideon's God, and the false gods of the Midianites.
Precisely. If we will recall, the angel of the Lord who became incarnate, Jesus Christ, says that he has come to destroy the works of the devil. And of course, Baal was a false idol, but he definitely was part of the demonic beliefs that the people had. And so just as Gideon is, in a sense, a forerunner for Jesus, pointing forward to him as the Messiah, then Jesus comes and does the same thing as does Gideon, only he does it in a way so that the sins of the entire world are forgiven.
Before we go to the break, start with this. It's a bit of a test that Gideon lays out for God. He seems unsure as to whether God is going to secure this victory for his people. And so he proposes a test for God involving fleece.
Yes, he does it twice. The first time, he lays the fleece on the threshing floor, and if there is dew, D-E-W, on the fleece, but everywhere else it is dry, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. Well, guess what? Sure enough, the fleece had enough dew on it that it filled a bowl with water. But then Gideon says to God, let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Let's do the test again. Only this time, let dew be everywhere on the ground except on the fleece. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. So it's kind of like the signs that Jesus gave when John the Baptist's disciples came to him. How do we know you're the Messiah? What did he do? He didn't show dew on a fleece, but the deaf hear, the blind see, the dumb talk, the lame walk, and the dead rise. And so these miracles really are pointing to the Messiahship of Jesus. Just as God was willing to do a test for Gideon, so Gideon could be sure that God would keep his word.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the judge and prophet Gideon in Judges chapters 6 and 7. We're going to be looking on the other side of the break, past this sign, the test that Gideon had for God, to the winnowing down of the strike force for this war from 32,000, I believe, down to a mere 300. And then they're not very well equipped for battle, at least in a human sense. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church of Terre Haute, Indiana is a congregation called, gathered, and strengthened by Christ's word and sacraments, confessional, evangelical, liturgical, serving our community and the students of Indiana State University and Rose-Hulman Institute of Technology, and reaching out to the nations as a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find out more about Emmanuel at www.emmanuelevluth.org.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, the judge and prophet Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7. So he's had his test verified. God has essentially told this prophet Gideon, I am going to give you victory over the Midianites. Now the time has come to assemble an army, but God says it's too many people. Why does he consider this too many men, the 32,000 that are gathered for war?
Because if the 32,000 do end up defeating the Midianites, they're going to boast, according to verse 2 of chapter 7, my own hand has saved me. Therefore, God said, tell those who are fearful and trembling, let them return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Of the 32,000, 22,000 of the soldiers returned. And then the Lord said to Gideon, no, there are still too many. And then he did another test. He had them go down to the water, and those who lapped the water while they still held on to their swords, they were the ones who God said, those are sufficient. And the number of those who lapped putting their hands to their mouth was 300 men, in contrast to all the rest of the people who knelt down to drink water, which isn't too smart an idea if you got an enemy getting ready to pounce on you. So with the 300 men who lapped, here's what the Lord says. This is really critical. He doesn't say, with the 300 men who lapped, you will save them from the Midianites. He says, I will save you. And give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go every man to his own home. So, the Lord tells Gideon to do an attack at night. You can well imagine that at night it's going to be people who are sleepy, etc. But in order to once more give courage to Gideon, the Lord has him go down secretly into where these folks are. And they hear an armed man telling a dream to one of his comrades. And he says, I dreamed a dream. Behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the cap of Midian and came to this tent and struck it. It fell, turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his friend interpreted the dream. There is no, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. Now, this was for Gideon's sake, that the people were afraid of him. And when we think about who Gideon was, why would you be afraid of this character? But he was so overcome in hearing the interpretation, he worshiped God, returned to the camp of Israel, and listen what he says, arise, for the Lord has given the hosts of Midian into your hand. This is very important for the Sunday school teachers to get across to the Sunday school children, that if they accomplish anything, it is always because of their relationship to Jesus Christ. As he says, without me, you can do nothing. But 300 men against thousands of the enemy, how are they going to defeat them? Well, what they do, they take the 300 men, give them empty jars with torches inside the jars so the light can't be seen when they're inside the jar, and then they take trumpets, they surround the Midianites, and when Gideon tells them to blow the trumpets and smash the jars, guess what happens? They cry out, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And the Midianites are terrified. Why are they so terrified? Verse 22 is again important. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And in fact, the front cover of Growing in Christ has a beautiful picture of Gideon blowing the trumpet, the men all around the Midianites holding their torches, and then down below in the valley you can see the Midianites killing one another, because in the darkness they don't know if these are the enemy. And so in that way they not only win, but they pursue the Midianites throughout all the country of Ephraim. Gideon sends messengers, and he tells them, let's go and get the Midianites and capture the waters against them all the way to the Jordan. And so the rest of the army is called out, and guess what? They defeat the Midianites and the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. The one is killed at the rock of Oreb, and they kill the other at the winepress of Zeeb. And so what we have here is a strange story, namely God choosing someone like when he chose the Apostle Paul. This was not somebody that should become an apostle to the Gentiles. He was killing Christians. And that was part of the problem the Pharisees had with Jesus. The son of a carpenter? How could he be the one? And so the other thing I would want the Sunday school teachers to do is give confidence to the children that as they grow up, they too can do wonderful things, but they need to remember to give God the credit. Who knows how many times when I was teaching confirmation today at Trinity Orchard Farm that we were telling the kids that through their words to their friends, they might bring him to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's not only a great miracle, that not only is accomplished by God, but it is a furtherance of the defeat of Satan.
So there's a general principle here that God does not rely or even require man's ability, his skill, his numbers, whatever it may be, to accomplish what he seeks to accomplish for those men. What's the lesson there for the church in general, Tom?
I always am very intrigued by Jonah. When Jonah was sent to Nineveh, he was not a happy camper. I'm sure he was not that persuasive in his preaching, but he still said the word of God, and guess what? Nineveh was converted. So when pastors bring people into the church, they always need to remember this is through the means of grace, that is, the word and the sacraments, and all the credit should be given to none other than Jesus Christ, who baptizes our little ones and then brings all of us into holy communion with him so that we not only eat with the angels and archangels, but the entire company who is now in heaven.
And Tom, finally here, you mentioned earlier that Gideon, he prefigures Christ in this story. Of course, Christ is also there as the angel of the Lord, but he prefigures Christ in the story. How would you simply explain that with about a minute here?
We are those who walk in darkness. And it was in darkness that Gideon broke open the light so that the people of Midian were frightened and died. Jesus is the light that breaks open the yoke of oppression that we have, namely our sin, upon which we are weighed down. Jesus' own body illumines the world on that day of his resurrection. And so there will be more trumpet blasts coming, but they will be occurring on the day of judgment when we, with Gideon and all those who trust in the promises of the gospel, live forever with Jesus, our Savior.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you very much, Todd.
The Sunday school curriculum we use every week when we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker is called Growing in Christ. You can see there at the end how all of these things, as they are intended by the authors and the Holy Spirit who inspired them, to point forward to Jesus Christ. That's how you teach a Sunday school lesson, using all of these stories to show forth Christ and his saving work for sinners. And that's what Growing in Christ does. You can get it from Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're in the middle of a massive, very long series with Pastor Ken Cherb. We're doing this weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. And right now we're going through Luther and his thoughts on the Sermon on the Mount. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5 doing some verses there, 9 through 12, with Dr. Ken Cherb. Our ongoing series on Martin Luther and the Reformation on this Monday afternoon, September the 26th, continues right after the break.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Laypeople.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Laypeople at lutheracademy.com.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.